Hello and welcome to the Next 100 Days podcast. My name is Graham Arrowsmith.
And my name's Kevin Appleby. So Graham, today we're talking web design. And we've got an expert in web design all the way from Birmingham. That's Birmingham, United Kingdom. Not Birmingham, Alabama. And I'm sure it's going to be great to have a conversation about what we should be thinking about in web design in an age that's been taken over by AI.
Well, that's going to be an interesting. You've almost got a question in that, Kevin. But I mean, Craig, welcome to the Next 100 Days podcast.
I appreciate that. Thank you both. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, Craig Murphy is the managing director of Alt Agency, ALT Agency. You got a lovely website. I've just been having a look at it right now. And it does look really, really quite special. I like that word alternative. So what makes you alternative, Craig?
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that. Actually, the site you're looking at launched not long ago. I think it's about February, March time. Before that, we had the site for many, many years. You know, the old story, the old cobbler's shoes of, you know, you're always your own worst client. So it took us the best part of 12 months, actually, to get that site right. We just really wanted to focus on a very minimal, high-end, like luxury kind of feel and attract a different part of the market, and just really do that without saying much and doing it from the visuals. And the name Alt, actually, funny enough, it comes from two reasons behind it. My favorite band, The Cure, they had a song called Alt End, which came out as a single when I started the agency back in 05 or 06, whenever it was. And then that comes from an old newsletter group called Alt.webdesign way, way, way back in the Microsoft, was it Microsoft Express? Did it used to be called, or Outlook Express? I can't remember the name of it. It was like a newsletter you used to sign up to when I was like 12 or 13. So yeah, that's where the name comes
Kevin
from.
Kevin would have been 40 at the time, you know, but you're aging us. But no, that's not true. I like it. And if somebody wants to look at this, it's altagency.co.uk. And I think, have a look at it. It's just that hero image. I think it's really well put together. I haven't looked at it on mobile, but it does look good. And one of the things that you've got in there are a couple of ways to engage with you right at the top of the hero section. You kind of have the navigation that's not really there at that stage, but well, it is. It's got your hamburger on the one side, but then you've kind of got a telephone number and a start your project. I haven't clicked start your project. What do you expect? Is that just like a form fill?
That's straight through to the contact us form. So all the most important information is obviously above the fold. It's the old web design psychology. So it's just to tell people who you are, what you do, and where you want them to click in, you know, ideally within three seconds. So just try and make it as plain and simple as possible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got to say the only thing that's going against you on that is the word Birmingham, but don't worry about that. It's not like we're in any way against people from Birmingham. But you're from Wolverhampton, which is far nicer, of course. But, you know, what can I say? It's certainly nicer to Leeds United. We always get points there, but beyond that, that's
not another football. Okay, yeah, I'm not a football fan, sorry.
Oh, that's all right then. I can say as much as I like about Wolves. But Craig, so you have a team down there. How many people work with you?
Yeah, at the minute there's 16 of us all together. We've just gone through quite a big recruitment phase. We've just taken on 5 new people in the last 6 weeks or so. Wow. So yeah, it's been a very, very big and busy time for us, for sure.
That's presumably because you're attracting new clients.
Yes, and with the way markets are shifting as well, we kind of want to go on the attack as well rather than just waiting for clients to come to us. So we strengthened the business development team / sales team. Yeah, we've expanded the development team. We're looking to expand the design team. That's not been sorted just yet. And I'm missing somebody. Oh, yeah, we've expanded paid media and also the SEO team as well. So yeah, there's been quite a lot going on.
Wow. Well, one of the things that you're offering is this promise. You've got this thing right at the end. I'm trying to find it, but you commit to doing three things. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so this comes, it's a pledge that came back from when I left college and started the business properly. It was about 2005, 2006. There was lots of outsourcing back then. Your outsourcing overseas was huge. And the big frustration is that people, you know, they get a cheaper price. You know, let's say we charge something just randomly £1,000. Yeah. Overseas, it might be £100. Everyone rushed over to see overseas. It'd be done in 2 weeks, £100. And then, you know, 6, 8 months later. And £3,000-4,000 later, it's still not done. And it became a massive frustration of mine, because then these clients would come back to us and they'd be like, "Well, I've got no money now, but can you help me out? Can you try and salvage it for even less than what we quoted them before?" But yeah, it was a real frustration for me. And I think being a business owner as well, you understand how important timelines are within your own business. So if you're doing a website for an e-commerce retailer, it's got to launch on October the 1st, and it's not launched, they're losing sales, potential sales every day. And that's
Yes.
something that I've always been conscious of as owning my own business, that we apply the same method to our clients as well.
Yeah. So your three pledges, it says it in here somewhere. I'm just trying to find it. But it's almost like to budget, on time.
On budget, on time, and set, yeah, it's, but a guaranteed, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
So
so
yeah,
basically, and the fact that you'll love it. So basically, it's I've got to say, if it's a website and if you've got it to the budget that you agreed and it was delivered to time, that's two brilliant things. But the third one's the clincher, really, that you'll love it.
yeah, and it's back to money back guarantee as well. So when we're working with clients, as they're going through the design stage, if they don't like the design or the direction it's going in, or they feel it's not the right fit, a lot of agencies will then send an invoice for the full amount and say, "Our job's done. Go on the full amount. It's a breach of contract." But we would, in that instant, we would refund somebody. I mean, yeah, I've been doing this, gosh, well, 38, 25 years now, and I think we've probably only ever done three refunds, but maybe four refunds during
Wow.
that period. So yeah, it's very, very, very little
I've
refunds.
got to say, it is annoying to do a refund. It really is one of those things that you just think, oh, you've put so much effort in, but something somewhere along the line detached. I don't know whether you look at that as a learning opportunity for yourself, or as in, or it might be that that type of customer I don't want ever again, sort of thing. I don't know. Is it their fault, or is it your fault, or is it somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, different for each one. Yeah, sometimes people just cancel projects, right? Life happens and they can't commit to the project. So even then, we wouldn't say proclaim it for the full money. We just say, right, here's your money back.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't really, I don't think of it negatively when we give somebody's money back. If we did, we've not done it for at least 10 years. That I
Right.
can think of off the top of my head, it's been a long time. But we've got a very good project management process. One of our first hires, project manager. And when that happened, it kind of stopped anything like that. Even though it's only
Okay.
been a handful before then, it kind of stopped dead.
You've said that you're moving a little bit up market, but almost subtly, and I think that's true in terms
Sure.
of the way in which Alt comes across. What type of clients are you typically dealing with?
Yeah, so anything really from e-commerce retailers, people who are really, really dependent online. They need the website constantly updated. They want to make sure the website's safe and secure from hackers, because they might be storing relatively sensitive information. All the way up to, I think we did a couple of say 40 250 companies, and also the NHS as well. So that kind of just below mid-market up to the public sector for sure.
So, Greg, you've been doing this for 25 years.
That's correct, Jess.
So, what's different in 2025 to, well, even 2, 3 years ago? And I'm conscious that we've got AI on the scene, and people are coming and doing web searches for very different reasons, and often they're not even doing web searches at all, going straight to the AI engines for answers. What sort of impact is that having on what people need to do with a website?
So the web's changed a lot in just the 2 or 3 years that you mentioned, let alone the last 25 years for sure. So with what's happening with the AI stuff, it is still quite early days, and there's lots of debate about there, if it's SEO, GEO, all these other phrases that are being used. But yeah, I mean, if you go back 3 years ago, a lot of people were just putting up low quality content on their blogs. You're trying to rank for keywords and buying backlinks and that kind of stuff, and it kind of didn't really, Google's on top of that. Google used to run updates maybe two or three times a year, quite big updates. Sometimes they'd wipe businesses out for doing what we call black hat practices, which is basically anything against Google guidelines. Google's got a lot smarter now at identifying that, perhaps even in real time. And even practices like that have just gone out the window right now. But still, The foundations for SEO are still exactly the same. You want a quick login site, you want it to be technically sound, you want the content to be written for humans. But yeah, people are searching in a more conversational style right now. So some keywords, for example, would be our money keyword, which is the one that drives a lot of traffic, was web design Birmingham. And though people aren't just searching for web design Birmingham, they're asking these AI agents, sorry, find me a web design agency in Birmingham that specializes in WordPress and ongoing maintenance, for example. So these phrases, that are as unique as the individual at times. And that's it's all about just making sure our site and our client site is showing when people are searching for those type of things.
That's interesting. I am really keen to understand a little bit more about somebody comes into your realm and they want a website. And I mean, they might have had a website, but they basically turn up at your door and they say, "Okay, can you build me a website?" Are you building it for, as Kevin sort of indicated, a place that really existed a few years ago with Google? Or are you building it for where we're going, or I think I'm just thinking about the results that somebody's going to get from their web pages. Effectively, is it there to because they almost need one, or is it there because it's actually going to generate some leads,
Oh
or
yeah,
is it
100%. It has to generate leads. Yeah, 100%. I think everything we do is geared to more generating
okay.
that return on investment, being found in Google, and then once traffic is coming to the website, actively converting that into customers. And that can be through micro tweaks to the website. It could be something as simple as, capitalizing a word, changing the color of a button, removing a part, a big part of a journey, for example. They can all make differences to the outcome of the conversions.
So it is about conversions, it is about leads, etc. And the I think what Kevin was sort of getting at, and I've got a little bit of experience in this sort of this new genre of answer engine optimization, but basically that's something that I'm involved with another company. But basically, it seems to me that the I read a stat. I think this morning, as it happens, 59% of Google searches end up with zero clicks.
Now that makes sense. So when AI search has really started to take off, it was about 2 years ago now. I think it's about 2 years ago now when it really got quite big. As we need to remember that Google owes its user a user asks a question, Google needs to give the answer, right? It doesn't owe us as digital marketers traffic as such in very, very strict and very bare bones basic terms. So if somebody goes on there and says, what's the time now in New York, for example, it spits it out on the screen, or what was the football score last night, it spits it out on the screen, or it's the Formula One with race result, it puts all the time in there. There is something called in data, especially in larger publishers, something called the crocodile mouth, which is where the impressions and clicks used to be quite aligned, but now it's the impressions are going up and the clicks are going down because we are entering that era, but it's perhaps not going to be fully no click, depending on what type of business you are. Products, services, they're still going to need people to click through. But like for anything that Google can understand, rewrite, and spit out the answer there and then, it will of course do it because it wants to keep the user on the platform and be satisfied with the answer,
No,
of course.
it's definitely Google's a challenge, I think, at the moment. I'm just not sure that the way of keeping up, shall we say, is necessarily helpful to the to advertisers who are spending a lot of money. I recently had to sort of pare back a campaign on Google because basically it wasn't getting the kind of results I'd hoped for. And I just felt that there was I don't know, not quite a desperation, I think, but something that's changed within that organization. And I think there's a the concern is that, ultimately you want a website, and this is the challenge, I think. You want a website that's going to give you a steady sort of, hopefully a lot, but a steady number of leads, so it can sustain your business. And that's isn't you'd think that would be the most important thing for a CEO coming to your business and saying, "This is what I want." Oh, yeah, if I want a nice looking website, etc., that's almost a hygiene factor. But I want leads. Is that not the main reason that people come to you with? or actually is it something else?
Yeah, it is. But to be honest with you, though, a lot of people we're speaking with right now, business owners and marketing managers, they're not really fully aware of AI and how AI search and how it works. I mean, you can run the same search three times, and you might get slightly three different variations
Well,
in the answers, and they're not aware of that. So we're still doing a bit of educating, you're also figuring it out as well. You know, no, I don't believe anyone's really perhaps got the full answers just yet. And the way, Google, these AI, sorry, not Google, but these AI chatbots like ChatGPT, where they source their information from, they were sourcing a lot from Reddit, and Reddit share price did it drop? I think it dropped about 10% in the last 24 hours, and wiped off God knows how many tens of millions of dollars, because it's not cited as much apparently in ChatGPT anymore. And Wikipedia as well, apparently, is not as cited as much
No.
anymore, from a report I was reading just yesterday and again this morning. So yeah, there's still educating going around it,
Oh,
but
you might have to wait
lots
for
of
you might have to wait for Grokkypedia.
it's
Elon's new because he needs something like that to sustain Grok, which more power to him, to be honest with you. I think he's quite an innovator. But hey, but yeah, I agree. And the yeah, I'm certainly not going to go into my product. I probably will. I'll send you a link, Craig, and you can have a look at it. But basically, the whole idea of what we're trying to do is effectively create. Give it's not necessarily to trade on Reddit. In fact, we don't look at that. We try and look at the website and say, what can we do to get the answers, their moment of their truth across, rather than someone else's. And it's the way I think people structure their websites and the things that they put on their websites that will enable them to do that. Kevin?
Yeah, and it depends as well where the user is in the funnel. If somebody's looking for best project management software, as an example, then you're going to get your top list right. You kind of don't need to click through anymore, even though I still do as a user. It's just ingrained in me for the last 25 years. But you get the table right with the different project management tools in, a summary of each one, the pricing, everything is there right in front of you. Previously, that would have taken you potentially five, six, seven, eight different searches. Now you've got it right there on your screen in front of you within seconds. And as people go down the funnel, they're perhaps comparing product A to product B. So, is your website optimized around those type of searches for the people who are at the mid to bottom funnel and looking to compare your product A against product B, for example, as well?
The good news is you're investing in, you call in SEO, but I think inevitably you'll have to get some of those people looking at the way in which AI assistants are, like ChatGPT, etc., work as well. So presumably that's part of your thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, as I mentioned earlier, the SEO fundamentals are still absolutely key. You still need your foundation and your content for humans and that kind of stuff. And then it's looking at where it's citing the sources from. Because ChatGPT, for example, Google's got its own algorithm about content, backlinks potentially, and all that kind of stuff. Whereas ChatGPT, kind of, and other AI search platforms as well, of course, they kind of look around the web, and they'll look at YouTube, look at your social media, they'll be looking at other PR pieces that are out there. Like, for example, is a newspaper talking about you, and does that get cited? And that's it, builds up the whole picture of the company as well. Obviously, they're always tweaking their algorithms as well all the time to make them more smart as well.
I want to know, of your 16 people, whose job, if you had to give up the job of being a CEO and I really want to do more of that, who would you say, yeah, I want to do your job now? What's the passion that you have in your company?
Yeah, I dare not say, in case you turn around and say, "Well, come and do it then." Come and do my job for a day. When I was a freelancer many years back, 20-odd years back, I used to do everything: the project management, the design, the development. I'd see everything through because it was obviously just myself. I really had a passion for project management and development. I probably wouldn't want to get my hands dirty with development today, because it's a different part of our brain, which I don't want to revisit. But I do really like project management and the systems behind it, and making sure everything's on time and on track, and that everything's gonna the breaking down the little milestones and making sure everything's done, and everybody in the team knows where they are. And one of our first hires, as I mentioned earlier, was a a project manager, and yeah, he's fully. We've got two project managers now, but Rian fully took everything off me to do with
Yeah.
project management. So if I had to choose one, it would probably be project management, because
Yeah,
that's
that lad's got no career here. No, he's out of here. He's thinking, he's watching the podcast, he's thinking, me. You know, but no. The beauty is your job now is really quite a different thing, isn't it? You've evolved.
Oh yeah, 1,000%. Yeah, it's very difficult for me to adapt to, because going from somebody who knows the business inside out, everything, who's where, all the clients, everything, to now, I mean, we have weekly sales meetings. I mentioned earlier we started two biz dev salespeople. Our pipe drive now has got 70, 80 leads in it, and I look at them and I start, I don't know who this person is, I don't know who that person is, I don't know what that project is, I don't know what's going on, and it's just hard for me to. Yeah, I'm adjusting to that, to understand that, I've got the right people in the right place. They're paid very, very well, and I trust them very well to that job. But it's just a bit alien for me to give up that and not know everything, what's going on 100% of the time. But that's what we need to do to focus on, the top level, the strategy, and all the different important parts of the business that will move the
It's
needle.
really interesting. I don't know about you, Kevin, to hear Craig talking about how he's gone through that sort of mental journey of accepting that you just don't know everything that's going on in your own business. You know, I've got a business which is nowhere the size of yours, Craig. So basically, you know, I know pretty much everything that's going on. But what I'm trying to say is that must have caused you some thinking time, because at the end, you know, you're expanding your team, and all of a sudden things are going off because that's why they're there, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a strange mindset, because as you give up control and you trust people, it's kind of a bit alien at the same time, because you've got to trust people and you want to jump in. Like if somebody's putting a proposal together, you want to jump in and say, oh, I know this client, remember them from way back, they'll respond better to this and that. But you have to just, I've got better of it over the last 2 or 3 months, where you just have to bite your tongue and trust the people. If they make mistakes, they will learn from them. They will sit down and come back to me and say, look, this didn't happen, I think it's because of X, Y, Z. So that's great. But yeah, I mean, I always liked having full responsibility. If a client, it's probably a bit arrogant, is that the right word, maybe? A bit arrogant, or a bit of a control freak, where if something goes wrong, it's because of me. I said something wrong in the meeting, or I didn't pronounce something right in the meeting, or I didn't explain something right in the meeting. And I could handle that, but it's just been a bit of a shift to have other people say, have them put their hands up and say to me, you screwed up, and then me not being able to do anything about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. But you 16 people, it's almost you've got so many different little relationships there. And like you said, you just hired a few people recently as well. So you've gone from, I don't know, 11 or 12 people up to 16. So that's a shift in itself. So all these new people coming in, getting to know how things are. How do you set that culture in a web design agency? How do you set, you know, Craig Murphy, is it Craig's idea and everybody refers to it as that, or is it, you know, this is the old way of doing it, these are the things that we want you to sort of follow, if you like, or do you have to recruit somebody who you just feel is going to fit? I mean, it's probably a mixture of all, Craig, but what I'm interested in is how's that culture of yours, and how is it playing out with, say, new people maybe doing different jobs, but you've brought them into that organization and you've got to trust them. You're increasing your odds if you do something. And I'm asking, what is that something? What's the something that gives you a better chance of success with people?
So starting with the first part, sorry. So it kind of was my the company kind of took on my personality, which, I'm autistic and I'm quite boring as well, for to be blunt with you. We were kind of like a I love Bill Gates growing up. We were very like Microsoft style company, very
Yeah.
slow, clunky, a bit dull, I thought. Behind the scenes anyway, I thought, client, we had a different outgoing clients, what's the word I'm looking for, sorry. Like the way we presented ourselves to the client was different to how we are behind the scenes, sorry, is the best way of describing it. And then now, as we've been hiring, I was, because being autistic, hiring was always the hardest part for me. You take everybody at their word. I can't really read the nuances and the subtleties of somebody's body language. And don't get me wrong, I made some bad mistakes of hires. I really, really did, but I could spot them very, very, very quickly. You know, I think it was the CEO of perhaps IBM or Hewlett Packard. He said, "I've interviewed tens and tens of thousands of people. You'll get right 33% of the time, wrong 33% of the time, an exceptional 33% of the time." You know, that's somebody who's gone through tens and tens of thousands of people. I'm nowhere near that. I've probably got wrong more times than have right, but I'm very good at spotting it when it's going to go wrong and trying to switch that around. But the culture's always been very no frills. You know, we're not one of those agencies with bean bags, and you know, we have got glass walls around our offices and whatnot, but we haven't got like ping pong tables, those kind of stuff. We're very, you know, everything's about the client. We've got to deliver this on time because we're on the hook if we don't. You know, if a client rings at five to five on a Friday and their website's been hacked and it, you know, it's going to lose some revenue over the weekend, you know, we'll stay till 6, 7, 8 o'clock to, you know, put like a
Fix.
sticky plaster over it, basically get it back up and running, patch it really quick, and just because it's 5 o'clock, we wouldn't stop. Yeah, everything's built around the clients. And then with the recent hires that we've had, again, you know, I use this word alien because it's a bit alien to me. We've taken on people with the complete polar opposite personalities of myself. And we've got Gabriella who's in the sales team. I mean, she will walk into any room, absolutely own it, and talk to absolutely anybody in the room. Well, I'd rather walk in with my hood up and, you know, be in the darkness and not talk to anyone and just shuffle
Yeah, you
away.
get Gabriella on now. You've got you've had enough time. You get her on now.
Yeah,
She'll be no.
absolutely.
I'm only kidding.
Far more engaging than what I am. But yeah, I mean that for me, it's a calculated risk, I guess. And the reason we took on two salespeople as well is because I think sales is probably the hardest role to recruit, because anything else, you know, like development, it's quite black and white. It's you can either do this or you can't. Whereas sales is quite abstract, and salespeople you'd expect would be able to sell the self, right? But it's can they sell what you're selling? So that was a bit of a bit different to me to take on two salespeople. You know, there's a risk that one doesn't work out, so we took two on. You know, at least saying we haven't lost 100%, we've only lost 50%. But I'm very glad to say they're both working out exceptionally well. Clients and new prospects are very happy with them as well. So yeah, I'm hoping it continues that way.
But if you've got a big pipeline, you've got some talented salespeople, or at least people who are probably going to become very talented, then boy, you look set to grow. I mean, your premises, presumably, can you squeeze a few more in, or is it something you're going to have to think about moving out to somewhere like Wolverhampton, or something like that? I mean.
Oh no, we're good for that. Yeah, a lot of time, unless it's client meetings, whatnot, it's working from home. So some clients prefer to come to the office. Some clients want us to go to them. You know, the industry is a lot different compared to what it was before COVID. You know, if you had a client in London, you had to jump on the train. You get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, get there for 9 o'clock, shake somebody's hand for 15 minutes, and then you come back home and your whole day's gone. Whereas now you just jump on a Zoom call and you know, half an hour, and it's all done and dusted, as I say. But yeah, there's definitely been a cult shift around that. It was recruitment as well. You know, not everyone is Birmingham based, but they'll come to the office for meetings, because I think COVID just opened up the whole market as well for recruitment, and obviously wages went through the roof during COVID as well.
Craig, you've
Kevin.
admitted that you're a, I'll use the words that your podcast agent gave me in the first place, a neurodiverse founder.
His words, not mine, but yeah, yes, that sums me up, yes.
What sort of challenges has that given you in having to shift mindset over the years?
Oh, yeah, it's been very, very, very tough because I have something called Asperger's. They don't call it that anymore. So it's bundled in with autism. So there's been lots of pluses with it, right? So I could just naturally read code. When I was 12, I looked at code and I thought, oh, that's doing that, this is doing that. And I just understood code without any education around code. I thought it just spoke to me. It was kind of like an extension, like the same language, which is a bit, you know, a bit unusual. But autistic people are either very creative, which I'm not, or very good with code, spreadsheets, project management, that kind of stuff. So it helped me with that. I'm very obsessive as well. So I was obsessed with the internet. You know, we've gone back to 2000, the dot com boom and bust at the time. You know, I was just fascinated by what the future could be before e-commerce really was e-commerce, and I was just blown away by it. But I can focus in very, very, very narrowly on certain subjects and just focus on them and know them inside out without, you know, without it being a stress at all. It's very, very natural to me. But then I think I always struggled with the soft skills and understanding people, which is why recruitment was always difficult, and explaining that culture and how I wanted things to be, that was always very, very difficult. But as we've grown, I've got more people around me, it's been easier to express it. It's something I've had to really work on and still do. You also have to bite my tongue a lot and not just say, you know, I could do it, why can't you do it, or jump in and try and do it yourself. You just have to sit back, take a breath, and
Is it you have a particular I had to look up what neurodiverse meant, but
sure.
you've already mentioned this sort of autism and the link in ADHD and dyslexia as well. I mean, you might have bits on all of those spectrums, but the point being is that you know that you've got that, and actually other people don't necessarily come along with that as a in their makeup. So what makes you even more special is the fact that you're allowing other people around you to get on with their jobs. Yet your mind, your process, the spreadsheet mind might be screaming inside saying, don't do it that way because you're going to miss out X, Y, and Z. And actually, by allowing them to do their thing, they might just bring you huge amounts of new business. It's
Yeah.
I have to say, I'm pretty impressed that you're managing your own situation, condition, whatever it's called, but you make the best of that anyway. But the ability to take other people around you, well, I don't know about you, Kevin, but that's pretty impressive.
Yes, and the thing that's fascinating me there, Graham, Craig, you've admitted that you're the sort of person that can understand code instantly, and you're not particularly creative, yet you founded a creative agency. How does that tie together?
It was very, very, very challenging. So, what's the best phrase? Taking influence from others is probably the best way I can describe my creative output. So, one of the things of autism, so I only got diagnosed with autism 2 years ago, which makes things, yeah, even more, made things even more challenging throughout the years. Now I'm aware of it. I know I can kind of manage it a bit better, and people around me cannot manage it. But yeah, it was very, very difficult, you know. I dread to think. I can see them in my head. Thankfully, I can't show them on the screen because you'd probably be sick. But I can remember some of the first websites I ever designed way back, and they were just really ugly, you know, black backgrounds, red scrolling text across, and that sort of flames on it. And it was just,
But it worked really well, though. You see, back in the day, you could get away with that, couldn't you? That's not a
back
criticism.
then, yeah, you could,
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, they were just dumping grounds websites back then, really, of a thousand different ideas with no real direction. But yeah, I mean, one of the challenges was always trying to convey and understand clients when they're talking about design is what did they actually mean by it, and how do we get that onto paper. So one thing I used to do, I'd have paper in meetings and I'd just draw boxes on there and say, you want this here, that there, and it's just a skeleton really, because what websites really are just blocks to me. I could look at them and they're just blocks and do it that way. And then yeah, I mean, we had a designer very many years back who used to take the design work off me. His partner used to work with. They did the design work, and I just do all the coding, and we'd be doing that way. So yeah, it was a very weak area. I understood that very quickly. I've got to play to my strengths, and design was quite quickly out of necessity more than anything,
I
had to
mean,
be.
even though you've worked in this field for a while, you're still relatively young and you've got probably quite a few years yet ahead of you. Do you have a big ambition for Alt Agency?
Oh yeah, 100%. I think we're primed to growth right now. I think we've just been, you know, like a catapult. We've just been going back and back and back, and ever ready to release and just shoot off, hopefully. I really do feel, I'm not just saying this right now, but I really do feel we've got the best team around us that we've ever had. And that's not disrespecting anyone else. You know, they've been part of our journey to get us to where we are, to raise our game and to look higher as well. You know, I'm very grateful to everyone who's been a part of the journey over the years, and in the future, you know, those who've not met yet. And yeah, I think we just need to pour that gasoline on now, which is what we're working on with the plans, and we're, yeah, all guns blazing. I know we're only, you know, the first week into October, and we've already done a month's revenue in October already. So yeah, I'm feeling very, very positive, but it's going to bring with itself its other challenges. Yeah, that project manager role I mentioned earlier, they might say come and do it, because if we start closing some of those deals, which we will do, you know, it's going to cause other positive problems of right now we need this role, now we need that role. But we are recruiting a lot more in advance rather than last time we'd, you know, get all the work in, struggle to get it done, and then look at recruiting, which is a bit backwards to say the very least. Now we're investing ahead of the curve because we're very been fortunate in a position to be able to do that.
So you're based out of Birmingham, but generally, where are the clients based? Do you regard yourselves as a local agency, or is it national, international?
Good question. And again, rubbish answer, but it does vary. A lot of the inquiries for new, like small 5-10 page brochure style websites tend to be from Birmingham local businesses who found us. The bigger projects, e-commerce retailers, and like the maintenance stuff, that all tends to be national. So yeah, it can be absolutely anywhere. A lot of London. For some reason, I've never figured out why, we tend to get a lot of inquiries from down Brighton way for some reason. I've never ever figured out why we get a lot of inquiries from there, but we seem to rank quite well in Brighton, which is always good to know.
Well, it might be something to do with your name and the way in which you present it. It's really quite stylish. I think a lot of stylish people in Brighton, and so that
Yeah,
might
could
be it.
be,
I don't know.
yeah.
I'm just saying that because it just sounded good. But the truth is, I really like the way in which alt is expressed. You've definitely got a good brand. It's something that's it looks like it's going to grow, like you said. At what point do you say, right, okay, I'm going to do a bit more cycling or walking on the hills or whatever it is, and do a bit less in the office? Are you almost at that stage, or are you 10 years away from it?
It's been working towards that. So we've got an executive director, John Byfield, and he's helping me structure the business that way. And that's why we've probably taken on so many staff, so we can kind of accelerate that. There are areas that have been taken off my hands. So the project management side has been taken off my hands, and touch wood, you know, sales. I've not been playing as much a role in sales right now. Obviously, it's still very, very early days. That's kind of gone off my hands as well, where the sales team are liaising with the project managers to get quotes and pricing. So that was kind of where I was. It's kind of a bit stuck, and I couldn't get my head above that. So yeah, that's all working quite well. But yeah, I think next 12 months are going to be interested in transition offer for sure. I just need to get my head above water. So we've got new staff starting next week, and we're hiring for a designer as well. And then hopefully I can get my head a bit more above.
And appearing on podcasts, then, is that something that's part of your strategy to sort of make more people aware of alt agency?
So it's something I've always shied away from, you know, and building a brand has always been important for search, you know, and we've, you know, we touched on AI search earlier, you know, building a brand is super important. Your podcasts get picked up, that they can be cited in the ChatGPT answers as well. So yeah, it's part of the bigger strategy that we're working on, to just, you know, really go all guns blazing there and stop hiding away in the darkness.
Oh, you've definitely not, not in the darkness with Kevin and I. I mean, you might end up being that, but truth is, it no, it's a
I
we've.
think I don't know who you are now, Craig.
Well, I tell you what, the one thing that we did, it was a few years ago. I had a colleague called Ellie, and she's gone on to better things. And she basically, I asked her to have a look at our guests and where they are on Google. So Craig Murphy, and what position does he turn up with our podcast done? What position does Craig turn up in terms of the Google rankings? Now, admittedly, it was a few years ago, so basically it might change a bit. But the point is, I want to say 90 odd percent were on page one. So when they were searching your name, not necessarily alt agency, but basically your name, you were right up there. Now, it might have been the way in which we did our alt tags or whatever, but I don't know. But the truth of it is, it repeated itself so many times that I think we did over 100 guests or so, and so it was a reasonable sample. And so, and all it taught me was podcasts are damn good for ranking.
It always fascinated me at how often the guest would rank on our podcast higher than on their own website.
Well, yeah. But at the end of the day, there is something authentic about what we're doing. We're not just having a chat. We had no agenda other than to get to know you and what you're doing and some of the issues that surround this area. We could have talked for another hour, but the point is, you've been, well, I'll tell you what, Craig, you've been a pretty good guest. You've shared openly. You've given us an idea. The fact that you're from Birmingham, we have to hold that against you. But beyond that, you can't do much about that. But Craig Murphy, you've been a great guest on the next 100 Days podcast.
Quite a story in building a web development agency.
Yeah, I think it's clearly not, it's changing, I think. I think the reasons that people will want a web page in the future might be different from now. We just talked off air about somebody I work with, Flint McLaughlin, and Flint said a few months ago when we were talking about AI agents, then why would you need a website if you've got an AI agent? And the logic of that meant that basically somebody could rock up to your website, and let's say there's an agent there, might even be an avatar talking to you, whatever it is, but it's basically answering all of your questions. Now, you do need more. I think you need more than that at the moment. But having said that, there is some logic in that. You want to get to an answer. You want to get to the what can be done, and the agent would actually handle that. Now, where I think that's not quite ready is in the way in which images and the way in which websites are structured so that they look beautiful and compelling. And I think when you look at Craig's site, for instance, it's a good site, and him and his team have done a brilliant job. So I'm of the mind that AI agents will help enormously to get more conversions for people. But I also believe in the beauty of websites as well, especially the one that he presents in Alt.
I think there's very much a role for both, Graham. A lot of it depends on the visitor and how the visitor likes to learn and gain knowledge. And some people like to watch video, some people like to float around and read text and read articles, others want to go into a conversation. And it really depends. So I think the best websites going forward will be a combination of all of those things.
Yeah, I agree. No, I completely agree. I think, but they at the moment there is not. I can't see anything that you could actually effectively chat to about alt services in particular, for instance. But he did say cobbler's shoes earlier. It's a bit like, that's probably the last one he's going to do it on. But
Right, exactly.
the truth of it is that so many people could benefit by having that little bit of an element there that can, instead of going through pages and pages looking for that answer, you can just ask it, what's the answer to this? All right, it's there, Dan. So it's not, and you're making the best use of your site relative to possibly a bit of a lottery of getting cited on chat or one of the AI assistants. So really interesting, very, very interesting conversation. And I wish them well, and quite an interesting guy as well.
Yeah, that conversation about his particular neurodiverse challenges, I think was very interesting. And that's something that's come over to me across a long time of doing this podcast, the number of business founders that seem to be in that particular space. The media will portray ADHD, autism, etc., in a very negative way. But actually, there's something that's a bit special about some of those
Our
brains.
experience is that, though, Kevin, isn't it? Our experience is that the people who've at least indicated that they're ADHD or whatever, have just a remarkable set of skills. What I liked about Craig was that he's really understood his place, and he's now, it's taken him a while, but he's now allowing certain, he's almost like gifting parts of his role to others, and probably with the help of his non-exec directors, and it's almost elevating him to a different place that he can be even more impactful. But he'll probably have to develop new skills along the way. But more of the thing, sales, he's got somebody in, the team, the sales team might do a way better job because of who they are. and development, etc. So that things that he would have been brilliant at 20 years ago, he'll need to do now because he's got other people around him. But I found that story one of the most telling parts of this podcast. And yeah, it was a good podcast, and I wish Alt Agency well.
Indeed, yes.
And that bombshell, and me not being completely anti Birmingham, I've been Graham Arrowsmith.
And I've been Kevin Appleby. Goodbye.
Goodbye.